broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
My daughter is not going to be hazed and beat up and touched on.
As a chief of police, he shouldn't be at all racially motivated. That's not part of his job.
After considering my selfishness and my arrogance.
The spokeswoman announced that it was almost prayer time.
If anybody has pictures for us out there in the Cleveland area.
And I'm like, oh, snap.
I forgot he was black tonight.
877-876-Phil. Yeah, 877-876-Phil. The world famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And it's Saturday morning. Yeah. And like that. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch. We'll go anywhere for that and more. We go places other talk shows either won't or can't. Mostly can't. Al D'Amato lays a smackdown on a racist guest on Fox Business News. Who was that racist guest?
I forgot he was black tonight.
Mr. President?
And I'm like, oh, snap.
So anyway. Last night I saw a cowgirl. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we do have comments here from Al D'Amato. Al D'Amato is the former or current, what is he? Is he former? No, he's the former senator from New York, former senator, Republican senator from New York. And a very interesting exchange was going on between him and some guest on Fox Business News. Then we have this father that's, I believe, understandably outraged that the kids on a bus are bullying his daughter. Because I'll tell you, I've seen this before. The school can't do anything, and many times the school can't do anything. The bus company won't do anything. You've seen these videotapes of these kids going ape on a bus. And if you get with the other parents, sometimes you get pushback from the other parents, like, well, it's not my kid, it's your kid, right? I don't blame this father for getting on a bus and saying, now, here's what's going to happen and if I find out that any one of you punk kids is messing with my daughter. There's going to be a little tiny body flung from the bus as it's traveling at a top rate of speed. Good evening. I'm Phil Hendry.
You kidding?
I'm kidding a little bit, yeah. Anyway, here is the Al D'Amato story as it came into our newsroom just, I want to say seconds ago, but it's actually been sitting on our desk here for 8 hours. Anyway, former Senator Al D'Amato let loose with a string of profanities as he blasted a fellow Fox Business Network guest for his comments about Afrikaans. The blow-up came during a discussion on Thursday's edition of Money Rocks. Now, is that, who is that, man?
Probably that guy, Neil Cavuto or something.
No, it ain't him.
No, not Neil Cavuto's on the other one. I don't know. It's on Fox Business Network, the man that's on there.
Yeah, I don't know who those cats are. But anyway, this blow-up, during a discussion on Thursday's edition of Money Rocks about whether or not to privatize the U.S. Postal Service, occurred. Now, let's listen here to Al D'Amato as he begins to... First of all, this is the guy that was talking. Where the hell is this man? Here is the guy that was talking, I believe. Strategist Jack Berman, while discussing whether to privatize the post office, made some observations most on the panel thought were racist. That's right. Former Senator Al D'Amato would not stand for it. Here is Berkman.
Most of these guys working in the post office should be driving cabs, and I think we should stop importing labor from Nigeria and Ethiopia. That's about the skill level. They're only in there because of massive union protection. Most of the people employed by the United States Post Office, in my view and in the view of most economists, are thoroughly unskilled labor. That is why I allege they should be bumped down to driving cabs, and we should stop importing labor to drive cabs.
You are a nasty racist.
Now, here is Senator D'Amato going on. He goes postal on Berkman using a string of vulgarities. Was that the big story? I think the fact that he busted on this guy was good. He used the S word. Good for you, Senator.
You brought in the fact there's a bunch of Nigerians. Now, wait a minute. Let me just tell you. That's a bunch of and you should be ashamed of yourself and have your mouth washed out. What the hell are you talking about?
There's
one thing to say that they're out of control. Wait a minute. Shut up. I listen to your It's one thing to say that they're hiring people who are unskilled, that you can save money, that you can run it better, that it is inefficient, ineffective. And I agree to all of those things. But for you to bring
Where did we get that audio?
What?
It's clipping all over the place. I can't hear. It's the most distracting piece of audio I've ever heard in my life. bump, bump, boom, boom, bump. There's dropouts in the middle of that thing. Send that audio to me again, will you? I can't even understand that damn garbage. I'm going to the second clip. It's skipping and bumping, and we got intermittent drops and every other thing going on with that clip. I'm tired of listening to audio like that.
You sound like Al D'Amato now.
Well, maybe I do. I'm not playing it. So, unfortunately, I'm not playing that, man. It was so bad, it was so rotten, that as I'm playing it, I'm asking myself, why am I beginning to lose my temper? I can't understand. I know why, because the... Now, get the audio to me the way normal human beings would listen to it. You understand?
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as we get that clip, and we will, without all of those dropouts and bumps and rotten edits, let me open up Google Talk so I can get... unfreaking believable. Anyway, Tamara Holder, an attorney who was also on the show, chimed in saying, making all those somewhat racist statements about Nigeria is a spinning of sorts. This has to do with government waste. Now, there are a lot of people that don't understand this. I understand. I know. I get it.
Oh, why is it racist just in Nigeria?
Well, I'll tell you why it's racist. If you're talking about unskilled workers, right? Unskilled workers, as Senator D'Amato said, unskilled workers are unskilled workers. Now, when you say that they're from Nigeria and Ethiopia, are you saying that if we stop the immigration from Nigeria and Ethiopia, we no longer have unskilled, low-skilled workers in the post office? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Berkman?
No, I'm not saying that.
You're using as an example what an unskilled worker would be, an Ethiopian or a Nigerian.
Well,
here's an example. An unskilled worker to me is someone that didn't get out of high school, and that could be anybody born and raised in America. You know that, don't you?
Well, Mr. Henry, no, you know that an unskilled worker...
An unskilled... I don't know why I'm still getting this on Pigeon. I guess I got to close Pigeon. An unskilled worker could be anybody who was born and raised in America. To a jackass like Berman and to a lot of people that don't have any idea as to what the reality is with the immigration problem or the lack of skilled workers in America, to a moron like that, unskilled means too many Nigerians, too many Ethiopians. And he doesn't have any grasp of the problem because the unskilled worker can every bit as much be from the United States, Mexico, Canada, Europe, or anywhere else. Now, maybe it's because he sees a lot of black people working, and maybe he sees a lot of Ethiopians working in the post office, and the post office sucks. He sees a lot of Ethiopians. He believes, take all those Ethiopians out of there, and you're going to find skilled workers. That's where his stupidity is glaring, and that's what D'Amato was getting pissed off at. And what I hope we will hear when we come back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, well, there's nothing I can do. Did you get the audio again?
Yeah, I got the audio, and I checked with Robert. He said it was fine, and now it sounds crappy.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with it.
Well, you know something? All right, well, let's play it. Here is Al D'Amato responding to Berkman or Berman or whatever his name is, Birkahead. And this is a GOP strategist, Mr. Berman, who said there's too many Ethiopians. And people wonder, well, you know, why is everybody getting their underwear in a knot over this? And why is everyone being politically correct? There's a difference between politically correct and just sounding like a stupid ass. If you call yourself a GOP strategist, then one has to assume that you have a level of expertise and information that might be a cut above the rest of us. And when you say that the unskilled labor in the post office is as a result of somehow there's too many Nigerians and Ethiopians, well, then you are saying cut out the Ethiopians and Nigerians, and what do we have? A better pool of skilled labor? Is that it? Well, you have absolutely no information regarding that. You're simply reacting to the numbers of foreign black guys that you see in the post office. Get rid of them, and you may have a lot of unskilled white guys. Until you have a grasp on what the problem really is, you sound, Mr. Berman, like so many other really stupid people. And unfortunately, a lot of this claptrap comes from the Republican side. Not all of it. We were just talking during the break about Chris Matthews and what a typical white man Chris Matthews of MSNBC is. This guy's about as white as, oh, baby.
But yeah, I mean, all he's talking about trying to lick up on Obama.
Well, look, Matthews can admire Obama, that's fine, but he, in his effort to admire Barack Obama, he's making this comment about, well, I forgot he was black tonight. You know, Matthews, one of the things I'd like to forget is that your mouth is like three quarters full of saliva every time you open it up. I'd love to be able to forget that. Now, here we have this. If you're sending it again to me, Jay, sorry, let's take a look anyway. Here is the comment from Al D'Amato. He is the senator from the former senator from New York State who was understandably upset with these remarks by Mr. Berman.
Let me just tell you, that's a bunch of and you should be ashamed of yourself and have your mouth washed out. What the hell are you talking about?
We are
it's
importing.
One thing to say that they're out of control. Wait a minute. Shut up. I listen to your racist It's one thing to say that they're hiring people who are unskilled, that you can save money, that you can run it better, that it is inefficient, ineffective, and I agree to all of those things. But for you to bring in this about, a bunch of Nigerians, etc., it's out of line.
Good for you, Senator. Good. Very good. And I don't care if he said, you know, what he said a million times. All right, Dad loses his cool. How come that audio sounds good and the other one didn't?
I don't know. There's a different way in which we were able to upload the process. And you see, it all...
Never mind.
Yeah, I can explain it later on if you want.
No, never mind. Dad loses his cool, threatens daughter's alleged bullies on bus. Dateline Lake Mary, Florida, right after Al D'Amato put the smackdown on some dumbass. Here comes Pops in Lake Mary, Florida. Authorities arrested a Central Florida father on Thursday after he boarded a school bus and reportedly threatened students who were allegedly bullying his daughter. His daughter has cerebral palsy, this poor child. We ought to raise our kids better, for starters. We ought to raise our kids to have some level of manners, you know. And when you see a kid that's got manners, it's a nice thing. It's nice to meet a young person who has some idea of how to conduct himself in the world, right? There's so many parents that are pigs that all they can do is beget a pig. James Jones' raw and obscene rage was caught on the school bus security camera. He was charged with disorderly conduct and disturbing a school function in Lake Mary, Florida. Everybody sit down, said Jones on the surveillance tape. Let's listen to this father, indignant. As he, here is the audio. As he loses his cool on the bus, threatening the alleged bully and bus driver. Note the audio is less than optimal, as it's audio from a video surveillance camera on the bus, but we'll roll off the low end and see what we get.
Hold on. Yo, everybody sit down. Come on. Now, you're going to, listen, man, I don't care if you don't speak English or nothing, but my daughter get on this bus and a mother with her, and now this is yes, I'm going to you up. Show me which one.
Hey,
Bob. Now, you call the police.
Hey, Bob.
Now, you my daughter. Hey, Bob. Play games you want her. I'm telling you, your bus will never make this a school day.
Okay,
I'm telling you, this is mine. I don't give a damn you have to pay that to her or nothing like that, but this is my daughter, and I will kill a bitch about her.
Okay, Bob.
Dead in, dead out. All right, I'm telling you this now. Go ahead, sit down. Now, I'm telling you this, man. You better watch. If anything happens to my daughter, listen, I'm telling you this. Anything happens to my daughter, I'm you up in there right on this
deck. No, I don't blame him either. I got two new heroes, D'Amato and this guy. He's got a daughter that's sick, and you know the story. The school can't do it. The bus can't do it. The parents won't listen. So the father got on the bus, and he said, if anything happens to my daughter with cerebral palsy, this child who is obviously impaired, I don't know whether she's in a wheelchair or on crutches, anything happens to her, that's going to be the last bus ride you take, man. Here we have reporters catching up with James Jones after he's released on bail. Once again, we have this audio clip combining two separate sources. The audio quality, ladies and gentlemen, is less than optimal. We will try to clean it up.
My daughter is not going to be hazed and beat up and touched on and like Whitney Dunn, okay?
Mistake, I made that mistake. I'm trying to pay for that. Please, don't worry about my daughter. That's all I'm worried about.
Do you feel bad, though, for these students?
I do feel bad. I do feel bad. I told you that. I feel bad. There's nothing else I can do, okay?
Well, I don't think you ought to apologize for anything. Now, yeah, he scared some of the kids. He scared some of the kids. Maybe the kids ought to get this message. Maybe the children should understand that there are big consequences to some of the things that they do. And if there isn't a parent standing there telling them about it, and the school is too stupid and gutless, and the bus driver, he don't get paid enough. Here is the alleged bully and his mom talking to local reporters about the incident on the bus.
This young lady has been bullied since the first day of school. This is a new school for her. It was an overwhelming experience. She's currently on suicide watch because of this matter. So we would just ask everyone to reserve judgment.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
This young lady has...
That's cut three. One, two, three. Jones' attorney talks to ABC. Oh, that was Jones' attorney, not to prejudge his client. Okay, now... We have the alleged bully and his mother talking to local reporters.
It's crazy. He said that he was going to F the bus driver up first, and he was going to do it to everybody else on the bus.
I was upset, too. I was almost in tears because I don't threaten him or talk to him like that, and I don't want anyone else to threaten him. And for him to be afraid to ride the school bus the next day, that bothered me.
Teach him how to behave around people that are less fortunate than him. There's a good start there, Mom. Local authorities are not happy about what happened. Here's Lieutenant James Clark speaking with WIST Television.
He comes on and he takes control of that bus. Parents agree to have their children transferred to school. They don't agree to have that bus detained by a stranger and their children to be subjected to such behavior. Here you have an adult, a grown man, that is able to probably by hand carry out these threats to do serious bodily harm or kill these
and
children.
What about this man's daughter that is being threatened and bullied? What are you going to do about that, officer? You're talking about your concern for these children on this bus after the fact. Here's the school talking about it. Here's the mom talking about it. Here's everybody concerned about the kid. There's a little girl by herself before the TV cameras are shoved up your rear end or in your face, before there's anybody from a newspaper talking to you. Here's a little girl on that bus all by herself being bullied. Now, I'm not talking, I don't buy this horse dung about how that's why people bring guns to school. No, that's not why kids bring guns to school. That is not why. No, kids that bring guns to school are mentally deranged, okay? But the fact is, children shouldn't be bullied, especially a child that is suffering from this kind of disability. Kids that haven't been raised properly, kids that are already a problem, kids that already maybe have bad wiring upstairs, kids that are already causing all kinds of hell and back for other people in their lives, get on a school bus and decide, because their parents can't do anything with them, and like I said, the school, the bus driver, the cops aren't around until a camera gets in the guy's kisser, and then he's talking about how much the kids are all threatened. What about this kid?
Yeah, but you can't say about that kid on account of just, it's just one.
What about all the other kids?
What about all the other kids? What are you guys talking about? What about that little kid?
Yeah, but what about the other one?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other ones.
What about the other ones, man? Those were the ones that were threatening the kid.
Yeah, well, that's true, but that's only one kid.
Even if you were to throw in the aluminum that it takes to make her crutch, it's not going to...
You get out of here, throw in the aluminum.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. Even if you throw in the aluminum that it makes to take her crutch.
I'm just talking about the relative value.
Of a human being, bud? Of a human being, huh?
Oh, cry me a river.
Yeah, I'm not... Cry you a river. A little kid, without the TV, without the radio, without any of the publicity that was surrounding what was happening, this little girl would get on the bus to the point where she was distraught and distressed and her father was pissed. Now, what about that kid? Who is protecting that kid? You know, I hear about this all the time, man. No, it's not going to cause a kid to take it. Not any real kid that doesn't have bad wiring. Generally, the kid that's going to bring the damn gun to school is probably one of the kids doing the bullying, not the kid getting bullied. All right, anyway.
You probably ought to read that Columbine book again and figure out what you're talking about.
What are you talking? I know what I'm talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Could you go a week without Facebook? Yes. Well, one college is trying to do just that. We'll figure it out. It sounds insane. It's just go a week without Facebook. Oh, my God. Coming up next, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Let me tell you something. I just said something to my producer, and I just want to clarify this. Just because something's on the internet doesn't make it news. And I always get into this discussion with people because here's the thing. News is the responsibility of people that deliver it. It should be interesting and it should be important. How do you determine what's important? And how do you determine what's interesting? Every example of stupid whites being racist in this country is not news. It's not news. I mean, what's news about that? You trying to tell me that what am I going to report on that? Why? The D'Amato thing is interesting. It was on Fox Business News, okay? You have a guy's talking about Obama and it makes national news. That's great. Some stupid, unfunny newspaper publisher in Lake Crystal, Minnesota, who couldn't write his way out of a wet paper sack, writing something about, I don't know, a black golfer or what. I wadded the story up and threw it away before I was even going to use it because, well, I've got a story here about a racist police chief in Wilton Manors, Florida. We just did the story about D'Amato. I got more stories about racism and stupidity in this country that would last us for hundreds and thousands of years. I don't need to read every example of how people are ignorant. It's not news. By now, I think we all ought to figure, yeah, there's a lot of dumbasses around here. Thank you. Next. Here's some dumb cop. The chief of the Wilton Manors Police Department suspended over the circulation of offensive emails and audio. And anybody that listens to this show knows that I support the police 100%. But if you got a dumb cop, then you got a dumb cop. In one email discovered by NBC News Miami, it included this short audio clip, which includes the N-word. This is sent by a guy named Richard Perez, chief of the police department in Wilton Manors, Florida. Perez will start serving a 30-day suspension without pay on Monday. Perez was also placed on hiatus from his teaching job at Broward College's Institute of Public Safety, which includes the police academy. Here it is. This is one of the things in this email discovered by NBC Miami, an audio clip which includes the N-word that he sent around to people on his email tree.
Good morning, ma'am. And isn't it a lovely morning? Up yours.
Well, that's from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, I don't say that's Blazing Saddles.
Passersby talk to NBC Miami about the police chief.
As a chief of police, he shouldn't be at all racially motivated. That's not part of his job. His job is to protect people.
Okay, once again, I got to figure out what this story's about. One email that was forwarded to top brass with the police department on Friday account, a little boy said to his mother, "Mommy, how come I'm black and you're white? Don't even go there, Barack. From what I can remember about that party, you're lucky you don't bark." He'd come under fire over the emails, some of which contained nudity. Dwayne pimps three hoes. If the price is $85 per trick. Another email expressed regret that President Obama was not killed during his inauguration. This is supposedly the confessions of a Marine wife. I felt the swell of pride while Obama took the oath of office. I saw the Marines fire a 21-gun salute. And then I realized how far America's military had deteriorated. Every one of them missed the bastard. Now, all of these jokes are probably very funny to all kinds of people. There's no question that there's people listening to me right now. They think this stuff's really funny. That's fine. But this is a cop, a police chief. And he's sending this over the
police chief's email account. Why is a really good question. You know what? Get some work done, cop. How about that? Is it too tough? Quit. Give the job to somebody else. Derogatory, culturally insensitive, racially charged content. The city manager imposed the maximum for group three offenses outside of immediate. So what they did is they suspended his stupid ass. According to Joseph Gallegos, who's the city manager, today the city manager and city attorney, in accordance with the city procedures, conducted a predetermination hearing with Chief Perez prior to administration of discipline or separation. Perez apologized for his conduct, admitted that he had no excuses, and if given an opportunity, would never repeat the violations and would work diligently to rebuild the community's trust. So people are wondering, you know, there's a lot of this, and I don't know whether it's being reported more or whether it's being reported less, whether this is, you know, a constant daily thing in America and it just so happens that because we got a black president, let's report it a lot, or is it because there's more of it going on because we got a black president? I don't know, you know. And there's all kinds of jokes and there's all kinds of stuff being said and there's all kinds of articles. In this instance, this is a police chief, so he lost his ass, you know.
Yeah, okay, but how come you didn't read the one about that one guy?
This is a cop, you know?
Yeah, that's a cop. Another guy was not a cop.
The other guy I don't care about. Some guy that is the editor of a weekly newspaper in Busted Whistle, Minnesota. Some guy that's the editor of a weekly paper in Chickenville, Minnesota. I don't care. Okay?
Yeah, but I mean, they're just racist.
Sure, he's just as racist. I can find a guy in California just as racist. I can find all kinds of people that are just as racist. Now, which story do I report on? In that instance, I reported on it because that was a cop, a police officer, a man charged with protecting the community. Some stupid ass that has a weekly newspaper in Minnesota can't write any better than he could probably do anything else. I'm not going to report on that. There's a million guys like that. A million dumb guys like that. That's why I didn't report on it.
I don't get it. The police brutality, okay.
What do you mean police brutality?
Like if I got to beat up somebody, but the other guy in Minnesota.
What is it with you guys in Minnesota? This guy's a cop, okay?
I just think you're always letting Minnesota get away with everything.
What? Oh, you're buggy, man. Oh, my God. When is this show going to be over, man? This is about the longest freaking show that we have ever done in the history of the world, and it ain't getting any shorter. All right, when we come back from the break, John Lennon's killer also considered shooting Johnny Carson and Elizabeth Taylor. Here's a joke for you. How come he didn't get them instead of John Lennon? Ha 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 ha! 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. Okay, you know, I got to laugh. I'm laughing my ass off right now, although I know it doesn't sound that way, folks. But I was just talking to Charles during the break about a particular piece of reality that's happening right now, And what I just told you, Charles, is the case. Oh, wait, I went to the wrong one here. Here it is. And I will tell you this. When you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, you're going to hear our classic Phil podcasts. There's a link there, so you can go ahead and grab whatever's on iTunes. But right now, I got to be honest with you. iTunes and the RSS feed that they, you know, iTunes is worse than the post office, man. That dude Berman, or whatever the hell his name, he should have been talking about all the Ethiopians and Nigerians working over there. What are you laughing at, man?
It's pretty funny.
Well, it may be funny, but I ain't kidding you, man. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Couple of stories here. Very important. Judge Judy knocks Oprah off the top spot.
No.
Yep. Move over, Oprah. There's a new daytime queen in town. Her name is Judge Judy. Daytime's top-rated show last season, knocking Oprah off its perch for the first time since the 2000-2001 TV season. Is Oprah losing it? Maybe. Does she care? Probably not. Is she richer than any man, woman, or child in the history of the world? Yes. Is it about time for her to just go ahead and say, go ahead, Judge Judy, you can grab it, baby. Grab it for all it's worth, man. And with both hands, too. For the 2009-2010 Judge Judy season, they averaged 6.5 million viewers, 600,000 more viewers on average than Oprah, according to Nielsen. The two shows go head-to-head at 4 p.m. in New York. Judy, which kicked off its 15th season this week, performed particularly strongly on Channel 2 NYC in the all-important May sweeps, finishing first at four. Well, whatever. You get the idea, huh?
What do you think that is?
I don't know. Why do you guys think it is?
I mean, you know, I thought, like you were saying, Oprah, she got a school. She got to have, like, a book club and everything. She don't need it, man. You know?
Yeah, probably she just let Judge Judy go ahead and say, yeah, go ahead, you can do it. I don't care about it at all.
Well, I don't know that it's that easy, man. You can't just make the decision one day, I'm not going to be number one. This has to do with viewers. This has got nothing to do with what Oprah's deciding.
Yeah, but Oprah is so good, man. She can decide, I think I want to be number one.
Yeah.
What? You think she's got that kind of power, huh?
Yeah, she's so good, she could say, I'm going to be number one this week, but then next week I'll be number three or something. Because she, look at everything what she does. Look at all the money she's got.
It doesn't mean she's like some sorcerer, bud.
Yeah, but I mean, what we're saying is, she's so good to know everything and what people like. She'll say, I want to be number one, I'm going to be number one, I'm going to be number, no, I don't want to be number one, I'll be number two. You know?
Oh, really? And did she say, oh, I think I'll have Judge Judy be number one?
Maybe. She maybe can.
Oh, come on. What do you guys think this is anyway, huh? Is this Lord of the Rings? I mean, if she says that I want to be number one and she works her ass off and she is number one, then that's good for her, you know? And if she loses it to Judge Judy, maybe she's slacking off a little bit. Maybe it's reflected in the ratings. You can't say, well, I think I'll be number two this week.
I don't know. Look at everything that she's done.
Yeah, if you look at how much her house is worth, the most expensive house that has ever been bought.
So? So what?
Well, who else did that?
What's that got to do with her doing a TV show?
Yeah, well, you gotta have a lot of money to do that.
So? What's that got to do with her being number one or number two?
But I mean, if you got the house, and also, who has moved in next door? George Clooney. Okay?
No, not okay. Everything you're saying, man, doesn't make any sense in regard to why she's number one or number two.
What I'm saying is, if she's so rich and had a house where George Clooney is like knocking on the door, can I come in and get coffee or whatever, right? That's pretty powerful. You say, I don't want to be number one, I'll be number three, you know, or...
Nobody can say, I think I'll be number three this week. That's impossible.
I agree, except for Oprah Winfrey.
You don't even know what her name is, man.
It don't sound like that.
Yeah, I do.
Oprah Winfrey.
Winfrey, I said.
Nobody's that good. You guys, I don't care how good, and she's good, don't get me wrong.
But who's Judy Schneidlin?
Judy Schneidlin?
Yeah, it says Judy Schneidlin number one.
Judy Schindlin, that's the name of the lady that's Judge Judy.
Who?
That's Judge Judy.
No, it's Judy Schneider, or Schneidlin, and that's in the story.
That's her name, Judge Judy, that's her last name, Schindlin.
Is it Schneidlin or Schneider?
It ain't Schneider, and it ain't Schneidlin, it's Schindlin. She premiered in September 1996, she's renewed through the 2013 season. Her life is perfect, man. You see all these cats? Their lives are perfect, see? The rest of us, every day is a struggle. Every day, we don't know whether we're going to have a crust of bread, a little piece of something to eat, a little sip of milk. We don't know from one day to the next whether the check's going to arrive on time, whether it's going to actually get paid at the bank. Will it bounce? Will it not? We sometimes have to push start our cars in the morning. Can I afford that new carburetor? How do I pay off the mechanic so that the car can get fixed and at the same time I can use it, but at the same time the mechanic? How do we do all these things? And meanwhile, Judy Schneidlin is renewed through 2013.
Life's a bitch, I'll tell you that much.
Wow. All right, in the other story, John Lennon killer also considered shooting Johnny Carson and Elizabeth Taylor. Mark David Chapin told the parole board about a list of alternate victims. I guess this guy doesn't want out of prison.
I don't think so.
This guy's crackers, man. The man who killed John Lennon in 1980 considered killing Johnny Carson or Elizabeth Taylor instead, but settled upon Lennon because he seemed to be the most accessible target on his list. Mark David Chapman, 55, told a parole board on September the 7th that there were other names on his list of potential targets, but he can't recall who they were, according to a transcript of the parole hearing, after which Chapman's parole was denied for a sixth time. I was going through that in my mind the other day. I knew you would ask that, he said, via video conference from Attica Prison in New York. Johnny Carson was one of them. Elizabeth Taylor, I lose memory of perhaps the other two. If it wasn't Lennon, it could have been someone else, he said. Chapman, who first became eligible for parole in the year 2000, is serving a sentence of 20 years to life after shooting Lennon four times outside the Dakota apartment building in New York on December the 8th, 1980. He will next be eligible for a hearing in August of 2012. 20 years to life. What kind of a sentence was that?
Must have been given to a guy who was like a nuts or something.
That must have been a nutball sentence, because that's about the lightest weight sentence I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, the guy shot him and everything. They must think he was nuts.
Well, if he's nuts, he's nuts. I don't understand that. If he's nuts, then he's a psycho, and then he's, like, innocent because he's nuts.
Well, they're going to let the guy go.
Well, look, man, if you're legally insane, you're legally insane, and that has a whole other interpretation. But this guy got into a military crouch with this pistol as John Lennon walked into this thing, and John Lennon's back is to him, and he fires into this man, he fires into the man's back, and murders him intentionally, and he gets 20 years to life. I guess, you know, I'll tell you something. This was 1980, folks, and you got to understand, this is very interesting. 1980 was an amazing year. We had the highest number of homicides here in the city of Los Angeles, I believe, than at any other time in history. Now, you can check this out, but I know the city of L.A., we topped 1,000 homicides. Now, most of it was gang-related. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we had, across the country, a crime wave that was unprecedented. New York City, Washington, you name it. Murder was the name of the game in 1980. On top of that, we had just had a Supreme Court ruling making the death penalty unconstitutional. Now, not just, but during the preceding decade of the 70s. So you talk about a country that was confused. And we were discussing at that time, 1980 was the beginning of the real rush towards saying, guns, yes, guns are the reason why things are bad. You know, one of the great, most blessed events of the last 20 years is the last 30 years is the fact that we don't talk about gun control anymore, because we know that gun control ain't got nothing to do with controlling crime. Nothing. And we finally got that one through our fat heads. But in 1980, oh my God. So there were guns, there was murder, there was death at every turn, and yet the death penalty was unconstitutional, and we're handing out sentences to guys like Mark David Chapman, who put, how many bullets did he put into John Lennon? 5 bullets into John Lennon in his back? Cold-blooded murder, and he gets 20 years to life. Well, let's see if this cat's up for parole or not.
Yeah, but they're never going to let him out or nothing.
You don't know that, man. I don't know that. How come we even got to sit down and review this jackball? When did he... This was on in September. So every 2 years, this scumbag now is going to have a parole hearing?
I don't know if it worked like that.
They're not going to let him out.
They may not let him out, bud, but the fact that we got to every 2 years talk to this dirtbag, every 2 years we got to look at this psycho and say, oh, how are you today, Mr. Chapin? You feeling better?
Uh-huh.
Are you sorry that you killed Mr. Lennon?
Yeah, I really am, because now I remember now it was Johnny Carson I meant to kill, and if, oh, well, that's great, okay, well, you seem okay to me.
Stamp. Chapman told the parole board this month that Lennon, Carson, Taylor, and the others made the list because they're famous. That was it. And he thought that by killing them, he would achieve instant notoriety and fame. Well, you did. The only problem is nobody remembered. Every time your name is in the news, then I remember you. But after that, man, it wasn't about them necessarily, Chapman said. It was just about me. It was all about me at that time. I felt that by killing John Lennon, I would become somebody. And instead of that, I became a murderer, and murderers are not somebodies. And I bet you think you said something that's going to give you a spring from this prison, huh? Yes, sir, I do. Well, no, you're not. No. Okay, now you're on my list.
You're going to kill me?
Yes.
I made a horrible decision to end another human being's life for reasons of selfishness, and that was my decision at that time. He suggested, you know...
Well, what would you say if you was him?
What do you mean, what would I say?
Well, you're making fun of him. What would you say?
Yeah, what would you... Seriously, what would you say?
If I was Mark David Chapman?
Yeah.
I would say to them that it was by my accounting, by my standards of today, it was an insane act. I can tell you that I'm incapable of doing something like that again, but you will have to make the decisions that you feel are the best on your own. I can simply say to you, you know, look at my record in prison.
What if you got convicted of raping a guy?
Will you get out of here with that?
Good question.
Charles Wagon is our technical director, and John Wyrick is our associate producer and screener, and, of course, Jason Rantz, our producer. What if I got convicted?
Yeah, what if you shanked the guy and then bent him over?
Shut up. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.